Sometimes they don't know why they're singing, they just sing, but they have a great place in the worship service. And when they realize they're preparing hearts and getting ready for it, now the man asks you to pray that God would move on the service, the people. I doubt if you've got time for the Lord to do that. Reckon you have? You folks have been mighty busy up here. I don't know what it is. Now, he'll move. I don't think you've got time for him to. Maybe he'll slip in a few minutes. Now, folks, these things are getting in trouble because you don't know how to serve God. Not a bit of use in the world. You going down the road like a bay steer the side of the saddle on, talking about God doing something like that, just stop and let him do it. That's all there is to that. He'd do that every morning if you had time to get up and let him. He does that every day to everybody that wants him to. And it's a glorious experience. Us church folks, you know, we found out what to do, and we just tell God and go ahead, and we're in bad shape. The average member doesn't know what it means to stop and let God answer his prayer. We mentioned the folks this morning. If you let God, he begins to answer your prayer the moment you start. God wants to reveal himself to you people, but it's going to be hard for you to get time. God can't do that in about a second. He does it by faith. It unfolds within us. And we're so religious, and we want to get something done and get something started. If you could get something stopped in this country, you'd be better off. Just get stopped somewhere. You've loped up and down the road now and played religion. Looks to me like long enough. Why don't you try the other route a little while? It's glorious when you got time to serve the Lord. My Bible said to study and learn to be quiet. Well, don't look at me like that. I'm trying to get started to preach, and you're about to paralyze me. God's going to talk to you. You're going to have to get quiet where he can talk. When you hear a bunch of folks out, John, all the time hollering and screaming in churches, that's a sign the church is dead. It's not a sign that they're alive. 90% of the people are leading everything just as backwards as you can. If you're full of the Spirit of God, you want to be quiet and let's hear God talk. But if you're a little bit ashamed of your deadness and things like that, then somebody wants to oop it up somewhere. I tell you, under God, you're going to have to get some truth for these storms that lie before us if you make it. And it'll be a great day for us. And when I leave here Sunday afternoon, if you want to, you'll know how to get started in Christian experience. We talked about it this morning. How to rise in these early morning hours and receive grace and then appropriate it through the day and learn how. A lot of you dear people here have been saved a good while, but you don't even know how to appropriate God's grace. That's why we've been rising for over 46 years. To receive grace in the morning hour and then learn how to appropriate it under various and varied circumstances and under sad conditions and glad conditions. Some years ago, a great friend of mine, I ran a meeting for him in April of 1939. Wonderful preacher, big red-faced Irishman. I went to see him some time back. He'd had a heart attack. I went in the door and he started crying. He said, "Brother Joe, I've preached grace all of my life. And now I don't know how to appropriate." Won't that be sad if y'all go to church and fiddle around all of your days and then some of you sit in a wheelchair and you don't know how to appropriate the grace of God? What good's your Sunday school band? What good's anything band? You felt good a time or two. Had some goose pimples run up your back, and I guess that helps some. But sonny boy, there's some places out yonder when you face the end of the road that you're going to need truth. God said you have an unction on the inside and you could receive truth. Now tonight I'm going to give you some old paths that men have walked in down through the centuries, and everyone that did made it all right. And whether it works for you or not, don't come running back to me, because I've had thousands to try it. I've had more preachers called under this one, more missionaries would go out and really call to be with Jesus. God doesn't call preachers to preach, and He doesn't call missionaries to be missionaries. Well, they're looking that way again. He calls you to be with Jesus. That's what the calling is, and then He sends you. He's called me for full-time Christian work. Ask that gal there if you want to know what full-time Christian work is. 24 hours a day. Set up all night with a sick child and get up and work all day. That's Christian service. Most of you are talking about flying high with some of us evangelists or going out yonder in the picnic. And my brother, God's needing some laborers now. You got all the funny boys He needs. There's some good jobs in religion today. Pays good. My brother says, like it always was, to be God's servant. Always carries that heartache. And yet in the heartache is where you have your peace. In your sufferings, where you learn obedience. And so tonight, and we talk about some old paths. Jeremiah 6 and 16, thus saith the Lord. Now, when you see that word in the Bible, it scarcely means one thing in God's world of this generation. It's just words, thus saith the Lord. Well, what? If you had any idea what that means that God spoke. One time some people heard God speak and they cried out and said, don't let Him speak anymore. And God said, that's good business. The word of God breaks the cedars in the 29th Psalm. Causes the cows to calve and the whole life to go on. Just the word of God. God heals by His word. I was preaching some years ago in Brother Caldwell's church. The lady there had been sick. They had some money and spent all of that. Had a little four-room mill house. She wasn't well. They tried to get her to go to the doctor. She said, no. If I go and we'd... I'm going to die anyway, and we sell this house. My husband, and he's probably in his 60s, won't even have a roof over his head, and I'm not going. That night I preached on the Word of God, quick and powerful, and she was healed while I was preaching. Now there's healing in the church. If you folks would quit playing church and get down to business and come full of grace, there'll be plenty of people get healed just sitting right there in the service.
Amen.
But if you've just come to sort of fiddle around like a bunch of kids, then look what you're going to rob other people of. This is the body of Jesus, if it is. And there's healing in this body. I've been healed in it myself this year. God told me to get out of the bed and go back to my preaching. And I had to hold the desk to stand up. I'd been right down at desk door. First night I couldn't get in the pulpit without pulling up by the banisters. And my voice is so weak you couldn't hear it to the back of the church, but the next night she is coming. Now if you'd surrender your life to the living Christ while you're here tonight, there'll be something happening to help you. It'll help you mentally. It'll help you spiritually. It'll help you physically. The living God. But brethren, this way, most of us are going to church today. It's pretty limp. And you don't expect much, so you don't get much. You'd get up and get ready. If you come here expecting something tonight, the only surprise you'll have will be more than you thought you'd get. Now, many of it didn't come for anything, so you're going to get just about that. And if the Lord would help me to say something to wake you up, well, then we'd say bye-bye at least. But you got to die out yonder somewhere, and we're here to deal with that. We're not here just to fiddle around and have a picnic and say, let's have a good time in the Lord. Well, having a good time in the Lord sometimes is a heartache that you cry all night. That's what I call a good time in the Lord, is carrying a burden for somebody. Not just tickle toes around and fiddling around and try to feel good, but to do something out here that'll help somebody. I got a letter sometime back from Columbia, South Carolina, having invited me to a camp meeting and said, our young people want to see something. Well, that's what you've been trying to show them for the last 20 years and lost everything. You get down to business and lead them to walk by faith, and they'll have God on the inside. Because we walk by grace. And so he said here, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. Paul said, having done all to stand, just stand. So if somebody's mistreating you, you just stand, just take a little stand, just park there. Then you won't be ugly from gossiping back at them. Then he tells us over in Romans, mark those that cause strife and division. Just mark them out. Because they're the ones that somehow in their foolishness, and they lead simple people off. Now, I wouldn't follow them if I were you, because that proves that you're a simpleton, or you wouldn't follow somebody and go against your pastor. That takes a simpleton, because you know that God sends shepherds, and nobody in the world can go against you. As I said last night, I'm in full authority tonight because I've been called to preach. Been sent to preach. I have the authority God given, and then I have the authority of this church only through his invitation. And he represents all of you. Now, if you folks never learned about this God-given authority, there might be more preachers than one in a church, but there's only one shepherd and only one that has the authority to speak that final word. So he said, just having done all to stand, just stand. And ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. You reckon that's so? Yeah. Now be careful with that. If you don't have rest, how do you know whether it's so or not? You need to tell me how many years you've been to Sunday school and how long you've been tithing. All of that's worthwhile. But I'll ask you that one question. Do you have rest tonight, or did Jesus take in too much territory when he said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That rest that comes when you're saved. That's babyhood rest. Now when you come through there, did you know how to walk and come on through and have rest? The next rest comes from laboring for Jesus. Those of you sitting around sucking your thumb, you're trying to rest, but you're about to go nuts all the time. The real rest is giving yourself up to him, moving along with him in these things. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now that'd be a good text if I wanted to preach about the Jews and give you the history from Abraham up through here and where they are tonight. And one of the things that somebody said, well, we know that Lord Jesus is coming real soon because the Jews gone back. That's a big mark of it. But they've only been back 27 years, and why do you think that'd get ready for Jesus to come to a world rewound? I ain't never looked for him a single day. You say, we don't like that. Well, the Holy Ghost is with me in it. He hasn't come. Who's right? Now, his coming is imminent. That's a little bit different. It is a great moving in here. But if a lot of you, instead of sitting around sucking your thumb, talking about that Jesus is coming out yonder, would let him take your life in here now, you'd help some of these young folks and keep them from becoming dope addicts. Your little Sunday school program won't do that. But you can get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I've had hundreds of them down the road, and a few dope addicts, not so many. They are in a right sad condition when they get into that. But as far as streetwalkers and drunks, I've spent nearly 300 hours in rescue missions. I've never had one of them to criticize me. But when you get out to church, begin to get out of you folks and take the frock off of what you're doing, then it's a little hard. You've got your cussed pride, and that's why you bow up. They don't have any pride. They know they need a Savior. And I can say the same things to them that I say to you, and they'll just cry and say, old Big Joe loves us, doesn't he? Came out of a joint in Yeager, West Virginia, a number of years ago. I passed over there one night, and I saw a little girl in there that was waiting on tables as those miners coming in, and truck drivers and railroad men. And I walked on by a little bit too proud to go in. I was there in the First Baptist Church in the meeting, and I became keenly conscious of the Lord Jesus, and I stepped up by the side of a post, and I said, speak, Lord, for thy servant's listening. He said, if that is your girl in that joint up there, what would you think about a man going and try to get her saved? I said, God, I'll go back and stop the meeting. I'd rather get her saved than to move that First Baptist Church. I walked in and found a little place and got some soup to wait till I could get a break. And finally, two or three went out, and I went up to give her the dime. And I said, honey, are you a Christian? And she thought I was trying to be funny, and she said, no. I said, seriously, would you like to know my Lord? And she started crying. And she said, yes, sir. About that time, the boss came out of the back, and it was an awful busy hour. You don't need to go in somebody's place of business just say, because you're a Christian, you ought to take over. A lot of you church folks need some sense when you go out to deal with other people. They have their interests just the same as you do. And their interest is just as interesting to them as yours. I never run over those things unless it's a desperate situation and the time and place calls for it. And so I said to the little girl, I said, well, I'll meet you here tomorrow night at 1 o'clock. Hold the toll there, though. They're looking that way again. Now, don't let that get out around you, because I do hate for a bunch of Baptists to get after me. Boy, they never will stop. I bet some of you in here right now soared somebody back on it 40 years ago. Yeah. And let me tell you something. If they're in the graveyard, God Almighty will tend to you, buddy.
That's right.
You talk about running into God. It's that hell on the inside of you against one of God's servants in the graveyard. It's mighty easy just to run over. So I came back the next night, about a quarter after one, I guess, and there's a little girl seated there. Her hair had been burned off with peroxide, I guess, trying to change the color. And I sat down to the side of her, and the other one came out, and the tears started again, and she said, that's my roommate. Would you tell her about Jesus? And I said, I sure would. Said, I got home last night a little after 3 o'clock and told her somebody's coming tomorrow night. Tell us about Christ. You see, a lot of you nice church folks, you can pull your self-righteous rags around. You go into church. You have the ugliest attitude toward them that Jesus died for. And your cussed religion's doing you more harm than anything in this world. Your religion is exalting you, and the things of Jesus are making you meaner than you ever would have been. And I tell you right now, it's time that if you're ever going to serve God, that you get somewhat of the attitude of the Lord Jesus. And he said through this great weeping prophet here, in these paths that I want to mention for us, and the first one is faith and repentance, just as simple. Now you say, we know that. No, most of you don't know that only between your ears, or you wouldn't be where you are. Faith and repentance are just like breathing. Out of that repentance toward God, you're breathing out that's unlike Christ. And in that subdued attitude, breathing in the power and likeness of Jesus. Now, if you ask some of you dear people tonight, are you saved? You're going to miss hell? And you say, sure, we're going to miss hell. The hell out yonder beyond your grave is not the hell that's working on you folks in this town. It's the hell between you and the throne that stopped your prayer life. And kept you from having the power of God to help somebody along life's journey. Now, I don't know why you folks are just dabbling around the church in many respects. It's the simplest thing in God's world to walk with Jesus. It's so simple that you can't hardly get off of the horse and get down there. A little child can walk with Jesus. Some of the greatest Christians I've ever seen were just children. Just simple, trusting faith. Now, that's not just a religious program. I was operated on in 67. The doctor didn't think I could make it through the night. Told my wife I couldn't, but said, I'll stay with the preacher. We're going to save him if there's any possible chance and put him back on these highways. But the thing that saved me was I had explicit faith in that doctor as a surgeon. And then I had absolute faith in Jesus that if he wanted me to, we'd preach again. And that's what saved me. It isn't enough just to play church and sit around here and then get all discouraged and down in the dumps. This is no time to get discouraged. This is the time, brother, to get your chin up and get going. But if about all you know is fundamentalism, to quit smoking and don't cuss out loud, Honey, when these storms hit you, you're going to fold up just like a tent. You need to know something about grace that will help you to weather the storm. And the average person doesn't realize it. Don't know what it means to be to where this living Christ right now. He's in the Holy of Holies. And we remember how that Aaron, when they built the tabernacle in the wilderness, he represented Israel when he went into the Holy of Holies and came back out. Jesus is not our representative in that sense. He is, but he's our forerunner. And he's in there now. And he's invited every one of you today within the Holy of Holies now. But my God, to realize that you haven't even dreamed of that, just go to Sunday school a little. Now, Paul said that's the way we'd do. We'd have a form when we got over in this age, but wouldn't have any power. And just cause you holler and bump around all over the country, that's no sign you got power. If you don't mind, that could be blasphemy. You're dead in 4 o'clock and you're trying to kid somebody and say, look how spiritual I am. Honey, you better talk to these young preachers. You don't mess us old prophets up. We've been here too long. We've listened to the sound of that voice too much, that empty ring that it had. Brother, when somebody, and an amen literally means that Christ lives in me, and if I let him speak, and he speaks to that Christ in you, then that's an amen. Otherwise, it's just mockery. And after all, amen is the proper name of Jesus. If you're just saying that to be saying it, my God, you just well be taking God's name in vain out yonder in a honky-tonk. And the church itself can't stand no such pressures there. But rather to realize this great path of faith and repentance. Now that repentance is toward God the Father, and your faith is in what Jesus has done to get you through. And the Holy Spirit came through that precious blood and came down to this old world to make the application to our hearts. And it's, if it's sin, then he can take care of it. And when you realize that, now I was in better shape out yonder sitting on a freight train, a lot of you church folk. Night after night, I've been sitting on those yellow trains, maybe in the panhandle in Texas or pulling for Miami, Florida. And the Shekinah glory would touch that old train. You know what? Jesus saying, son, I'm here if you need me. Well, I didn't have sense enough to know it, but he stayed right there. And I was crying. I wanted out of that. Now, I'm so glad some of you nice fundamentalists didn't get on. So now, boy, I tell you right now, you ought to have more sense than the whole boy I did. I love to hear you fellas talk once in a while. He said, now, you ought to do that. My God, he knows that better than you do. How's he going to quit, brother? Sent a boy out to the convict camp one day just before we were taking over the service. Boy, he cussed every one of them out and told them they wouldn't act it like they did. And they were sitting there with chains on right there. Needed somebody to tell them how to get rid of those chains. I stayed 2 Sundays, went back, and the big blonde-haired German boy was gone. And I said to another man, I said, son, did you know that big German? He said, yes, sir. And I said, where is he? He said, I don't know. I said, hey, do you preach that last service down here? Said, they come down here one day, thank God, and unlocked the door, took the chains off of him, and he's gone. Now, if you don't know that God that took those chains off, what's the use you going around here on Sunday kicking up your heels and hollering and screaming about something? You ain't kidding nobody but yourself. Now, there are times when people shout and shout the victory. They're free as they can be. I heard my mother shout twice, once at Dad's funeral and once when my brother went to the Navy. Those battles were hot and it looked like it was all over. She stood there and looked in Dad's cold, dead face and huddled us little young ones up there. Had a little old handkerchief in her hand and she threw up both hands and said, Jim, Billy, I'll meet you in the morning. Bring both all the children. What'd that mean? That meant for her to go back home, get a mattock and dig sprouts, get a hoe and chop cotton. Meant for her to give her soul to get this done. And that's why I'm here tonight. Now, brother, those are the things that move in. My brother left one Sunday afternoon to go to the Navy in that war that closed in 1918. My mother would have a heart attack once in a while, and when she did, she'd scream so we could find her. I started to milk Monday morning, and about the time I set the bucket down, I heard Mother scream, and I thought it was a heart attack. I rushed to the house. Our kitchen wasn't a kitchen and dining room, just a big, long L. The brother, when I got in there, she's just taking it one end to the other. Cats is gone. Dish rag up on the mantel, up on the cabinet. Heaven would come down. I sat there for a little bit. Sort of bewildered me a little bit. I was missing brother. We had a big Western team, and there I was, boy, not quite 15 years old, had to take over the whole business. And she sort of slowed down and come walking by me directly. She said, "Sonny boy, if my boy goes to the bottom of the ocean, he'll come up in the resurrection."
Hey.
Here she went again. Now, brother, most of you, that you can just pick a banjo for you about a minute and off you go. Well, you need something that you can shout the victory when the weight's on you. Not just a matter of get down here at church and fiddle and tickle one another under the chin. You've got the darkest hours lying before you that's ever been on the face of God's earth. And all of your theories put together isn't worth the snap of your finger. You're ruining God's people. Robbing them of their prayer life by telling them some of the picnic mess you're in. You're happy because the Lord Jesus, He's down at your house this morning. Did you get up and sit with Him a while? You didn't need Him today. God help you folks that call yourselves Christians. Starving to death if you've ever been born again. You talk about something that's got dig and drive in it, that's it. Faith and repentance. Faith in God to get up and go every morning. I was in Pickens, South Carolina in a meeting. By running two meetings, they'd want me to church in Greer, and it'd be 2 years before I could get there. Five good women started to pray for a meeting in the First Baptist Church in Greer, South Carolina. The first woman began to pray for me at 8 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, they're still going. And they said, "Lord, you can send this man. We want him in our town." And the first thing I knew, I was in Spartanburg, about 20 miles away, with Ed Harrison. And Ed had a little church in Greer. And he said, "Joe, reckon you could stand in this August in this hot weather to preach 3 days at our mile of the little church?" I said, "Ed, hush right there. I know what it is. God's answered all of those ladies' prayers, and their husband have joined them. Don't tell them when we'll quit." And I went down and preached 3 weeks. Then I happened to be in 2 weeks in Pickens. One morning in Pickens, I got up on the side of the bed, and everything just turned yellow. And I grabbed a hold of the foot of it and sat there for a few minutes, and I thought, "Well, is this being a Christian? Is this the way you serve God?" And about that time, the sun broke through the window. And I thought about the resurrection. I fell on my face and began to cry, and I said, "Lord, forgive me. Drive me to death if you can. Just drive on. This is no picnic mess like most of you are making out of. Brother, we're heading for the graveyard. We're heading out yonder. You're heading into an hour the same as that one of Noah's, only it has Sodom and Gomorrah added to it. Yet somehow trying to get somewhere and try to shake it off with some racket. When you get through with the racket, you're in worse shape than you was when you started. You can sit alone with God till eternity rolls in your soul, and the power that will move the mountains and shake the islands and move the sea can move in your soul and give you rest for that day and give you power to go out yonder and help others. Not just a little picnic and messing around. I never went in that big family yonder. I was there almost a part of 7 years after the Lord took me in. I never went in there one time but what I'd spent an hour with Jesus. That's more dangerous than going to church. There's about 300 men, all of us great big individual kind of fellows. You had to be to handle that heavy work. We molded by hand then. They do it at machine a lot now. And I got about three of them saved in about 7 years. That wasn't too fast. I wouldn't want to stick that up on the record with some of y'all. Y'all got some real records, have you? Of course, you don't know where they are, but they might come back. You can't tell. One thing to get some people saved, it's another thing to get them up, you know, and give them a little testimony. I haven't given nobody no testimony. If you don't know God, don't say it. There's 46 of them over there tonight, honey. Well, dear soul, I had to get up 15 minutes to 2 and go to work 15 minutes to 3. Your head hurts just like everybody else. But I believe what us doing. And I didn't just talk about you. See, you say, "Well, now, we're doing this for the glory of God." How long have you been with Him today for power to do it for the glory of God?
Just because you come in here and say, that don't mean a thing in God's world to me. Because I just happen to know what it means to live for the glory of God.
Brother, it keeps you on your toes. It keeps you in the very niche of wondering what it is. You've got to keep your eyes open. You've got to have grace to do it. The second path that we would mention is the path of restitution. And at least when we come back, He saved most of us on a credit. Boy, He'll save you by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. But most of you, if you're honest about it, He sent you to straighten up some little things. And all of us that come back from being in disobedient condition, you just didn't get back, brother, because you went wrong going out there. And if you didn't do it, then it hurts sad business. But you have to make it right. We had a preacher in Chattanooga a number of years ago. When he was a boy, some men's, they lived on the farm, and some men's hogs kept getting in his corn. He killed three of them, drug them off. Nobody knew about it, and so one day he got right with the Lord. He had to go tell the old folks. He said, you remember several years ago when you lost those three hogs? He said, very definitely. He said, I'm awful sorry, but I killed the hogs. How much do I owe you? Now, if you're going to have a revival in this church, you individual members, I'm not talking about stealing $1,000. One of my friends, John Hagee, I no doubt some of you have heard him, a great world-known preacher today. John stole a pencil when he was in high school. He was in Jackson Mill having a great meeting. And what a glorious time they were having. And old John was praising God and hopping around all over the place and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And his daddy was preaching. He was ashamed of the whole thing. He said, you send your daddy money enough to pay for that pencil. You see, you folks down there, that don't amount to much. Y'all just... Honey, when you begin to realize that the look of your eye, the great prophet Obadiah said, you ought to have looked. I was wondering, you folks get so loose out here. You're not checking this thing very close. Did you ever look at somebody else's new automobile instead of thinking them that they had one better than yours, sort of had that hell to roll up in you? And some of you nice men sitting here tonight, so sweet that sugar wouldn't melt on and run off of your chin. Did you ever look at somebody else's wife ministering the way you ought them to do it? Well, the book said you ought them to look. Now, you folks need to get off of the horse if you're going to let God move in with power and save your animals and plow hell up in these hollers. It takes men to move God's business. I've got a beautiful wife at home. I want to speak on this one night if I can this week. Lovely blonde-haired wife, a little gray now that fits beautifully. If she used to walk down this aisle, I know exactly how I want you to look at my wife. See? Well, I know how to look at your wife, son. Now, a lot of you religious men popping off around here, sonny boy, get back where you've got an eye that's single to the glory of God and not full of hell and covetousness on what somebody else is. Now, it wouldn't take us long to get back where these churches have power just like they always do. I bought a suit of clothes one time in Charlotte on the credit. I don't know how well that is, but I did anyway. Paying for it some every Saturday, and I was catching in the Twilight League playing baseball. We hired a fastball bird, and he cut me one right in the short ribs there, and I couldn't make it for a few days. I sent him word that I wouldn't be up Saturday to pay him, but I'd double the payment the next week. And they sent back word they didn't take any excuses. Now, this isn't right, but down in Georgia, if you get mad at somebody you owe, sometimes you just don't pay them. Now, that, I don't guess that'd be right, but... I ain't talking about what's right. I'm talking about the way we do in Georgia. Wait, I ain't getting out up here, but you might be guessing that you're in. So I'm pretty hot under the collar, but a few days I met Jesus in the briar patch. You see, this Jesus a lot of y'all met in the church somehow can't do much for you, can it? Well, now, if you can't get saved and get fixed up here, get in my car, I'll take you to Charlotte, the briar patch down there, where you can get right with God. I know, because I did. Right? You could get right with God, brother.
And I went down there and bowed down by my little stump and started praying and said, Lord, I love you. I want to know what you do. I'm just ready to do anything in this world. And he said, pay for this suit. Well, now, that wasn't what I wanted. If I'd have been up here, then I'd have shouted every time you do. But I got hooked up wrong in my prayer life down there. And he wanted me to pay my debts. Yeah.
Yeah.
I prayed that same prayer again, and it got the same answer. I thought maybe somebody done messed up with that stump, and I got over there about nothing. Well, you know how somebody might mess up thing up somewhere. Prayed the same prayer. He said, pay for the suit. So I just went back to the other little stump. It was slicker and about the right height. I got crawled out and borrowed the money and went and paid it. When I shoved her through the window just exactly enough to pay in full, the little lady rolled her out, and when she slid her through there, I started crying and thanking God. Honey, this stuff, you folks all the time belly aching around up in what's wrong somewhere, it's inside of you.
Yeah. Right.
Ain't nothing that nobody else is not keeping me down. Nobody hadn't told me not to pray today, did they, you?
Yeah.
Been all right, wouldn't it? That's up to you. That's up to me this morning. On top of all the miles that I'd made, honey, I was up praying while you were sleeping. These times are too serious. You never know when you meet a man that'll be in hell in the morning at sun up, but you're not ready. You might meet one of God's saints with a heavy heart. And I met a couple today, and we just sat down and talked together and cried together, and heaven came down. You see, there's a whole lot more to this than most of us think. Making a restitution. We was having a meeting in our church in Wadesboro, North Carolina. Big red-headed deacon there. Very solemn man, but a very fine man. And I saw him come in one night, and old Cease's all lit up, you know, and I thought, brother, he's been somewhere. And I sort of slipped around over there after a while. He couldn't talk hardly. And finally said, Brother Joe, I did what you said today. And I said, what's that, Cease? He said, Daddy died about 20 years ago. And there's a woman here that he'd made a trade with, and she always has said that Daddy owed her $20. He said, Daddy said he didn't, and I don't think he did. But I just got to thinking about it today, if she felt that way about it. And I just went over there and told her, my name's Cecil Gray. My daddy said that you felt like he owed you some. And Cecil said, it isn't me that owes it, but I am his son. We're pretty closely connected. Said, I just brought you that $20 bill. Now, it isn't a matter of just going by the letter of the word. That's where a lot of you folks are sunk. You says what the book said. How do you know what the book meant? That's the way that ought to be done. The very sin of the woman had the feeling. He gave her the $20 and released the Holy Ghost in his own soul. Power to have victory. Some 40 years ago, there's some money borrowed. I didn't borrow it, but I was in sort of somewhat the same relationship here about 6 or 7 years ago, not over 6, I guess. I realized the woman never did say anything to me that it was borrowed from, but somehow I just got to thinking, that is pretty rough, and I was pretty closely related to this thing. I went out and went to work, brother, sure enough. Got me $750 and sent it back. I said, here's your money. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you what you know, not what somebody else knows. You'd better get right with God. Not a moral issue. It's great to have a good habit of prayer. That's great. It's great for you know the form of prayer. Anything that's worthwhile has a form. A lot of you good Baptists hollering bellyaching said, we don't have any form. We don't have any doctrine. You don't have nothing if you don't. Yeah. Talk about a church without a doctrine. That's the silliest thing anybody under heaven ever heard tell of.
Right.
And so, dear soul, when you wake up to that fact, realize the marvel of that grace and what God can do for you, what is it He's trying to say to you tonight? Are there somebody in this church here, you haven't said ugly words, but haven't you been a little cool toward them? Do you realize what it might mean to that person? They don't understand. Some of you right here tonight could just go to somebody. Now, wouldn't let anybody hear me that's private. You don't need to confess private sins publicly.
That's right.
Don't drag some child out here that's made a mistake. Make them do it.
But you just ought to slip up to that man and woman and say, now listen, I haven't had anything against you, but I haven't had anything to pardon. I have been a little cool, and that's not right, and I'm sorry. Why don't you get that out of the way and quit thinking? Why don't you quit trying to fool God? You're not fooling anybody but yourself. Well, my God, the truth himself knows there's something wrong with you. You don't have that. Or you're shouting a little because of the living faith. Or you shout because you don't have anything. That, they shout more than people that's full of grace now. Don't have anything, you're trying to put something over on somebody. You're putting nothing over on me. I've walked this road too long and spent too many heartaches, white folks, black folks, divided my last bite with them. I know what it means. Not too long ago, I was in a place and got a hold of about $300. And I said, well, just give this to a fella. Go to the mission fields. And what'll embarrass you to death? A little later, the devil said, you played it now. And I said, yeah, I believe it did. And about a week later, I went down the country, and a man walked up and gave me a check for $1,000. I never was so embarrassed in my life. Now, if you know Jesus, that'll tear you to pieces. Yeah. There I was, and I gave the money, and I felt pretty good about it, but it looked a little bit dark, and I did have some things I couldn't quite meet. But God said he'd take care of it, and he did. Now, the next path that we had mentioned tonight is the old family altar. There are more trouble ironed out in the home right in that family altar than anywhere else. 99% of the trouble you have in your churches comes out of the home. So you see, first of all, it's a personal thing. That man not right with God, and he's not leading his family to worship. And Dad, the first thing you know, you're going to come trotting down here one day with a fine boy that's an addict or a girl that's out yonder in sin, and you ain't never seen such crocodile tears. And you're going to be the saddest, self-pitying. Why don't you be a man now and get out there and serve God?
That ain't going to bring your young'un back. Brother, if I didn't have to stand with hundreds of them now and know exactly what's happening, I wouldn't be able to stand here and say this. I know what I'm talking about. Preacher came to me last week and brought his wife. Going all to pieces. They have three children. Been born not too fast, I guess, but she just couldn't stand it. It wasn't hard work. Hard work won't hurt anybody. But it's this awful age and depression that you're in that breaks women down. And so he drove about 300 miles, I guess it was, and she wanted to talk to Brother Joe. And I chatted with her a little bit and sort of kidded with her a little bit. It wasn't long, so we were sort of making fun of the mess she's in. But I picked up this. Her mammy and daddy didn't get along when she was at home. Now that's what you mammies and daddies are doing. Now you've been down here at the church putting on the show. But mister, what are you doing to them kids at home? You don't have to knock one another down. Just have that sword in your mind. Jesus said, they that live by the sword will perish with it. You don't have to get it out here like most of you fundamentalists think you will. Dad can just sit on that side of the fireplace and Mama over here is cold as hell and them poor little fellas' hearts are laid. And they'll wonder why Daddy didn't just say one sweet word. No, he got up the next morning barely in time to get his britches half on to go to work, and he nearly at the door when he got him on, raising hell about everything. Wouldn't it have been nice if you'd have got up and had a little worship service with your children? Picked that little boy up and kissed him and said, son, I appreciate those good marks. Instead of you feeling embarrassed, you know, and you say, I'll declare right now, that young'un's going to get them less, he's going to do this, and so, Dad, you're the one sticking it. Yeah. Mommy, you got a little bit too fast going around. It takes you too long to fix your hair and scrub these beautiful floors and press those curtains. You're going to have young'uns in hell if you don't mind, and that stuff will all be gone. It ain't worth what you're doing. I praise God for a good woman that will work and have a clean home. But after you get that done, you ought to stop and get along with God for a while. Your big job is there with that husband and those children. And you won't be with this woman's live business. Happiest woman in the world is a woman that's putting her man where he belongs. And everybody in this world knows what she's doing. Don't you get back there and think that your time's being wasted and nobody appreciates you. When that man of yours steps out, John, and his pants are fresh, good and nice, and his shirt fits pretty good,
They know who did it.
Yeah.
I can walk right back through this congregation. I've already looked back there purposely and go right now and put my hand on two men. This congregation ain't got no wife. You see, you women think you're hid away. And you whine and cry. And say, oh, I'm back here and I'm hemmed up. You got from here to God. You've not only got to bash some children for this. Brother, I'm going to tell you one thing. It's pretty rough at the house when you come in at night and you know, been pretty ugly about something. Did any of you ever come in and pray and you turn your face toward the front door and your wife turns hers toward the kitchen door? And when you get in, get through praying, you walk out and you don't look at one another, do you? Go ahead and say amen. You know what I mean.
Yeah,
I know this ain't suiting some of you screwballs. You want somebody to get a flag and hoopity-doopity-doopity.
Yeah.
By the name of God, don't you get filled with the Holy Ghost and carry the heartaches of the dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
You talk about some brother, you ever find out what a real church is? You find out how that it's doing right here in the world now what Jesus did, and that's your job. If you want to know what your job would do, what's Jesus? What would He do here? Marvelous grace of God. Mighty easy to play religion. Some years ago, my daughter was at Boone, and like 1 year, and came home, and I spoke pretty short to her one morning. And she's a child, if I could just speak, I could now, and she's 49 years old, she'd cry all night. I wouldn't dare say an unkind word to her over that telephone. You didn't have to. Now the second one was different. She just enjoyed you telling her how to live. She just go and do as she pleased. You had to whip her, but not that oldest one. And so that night I tried to pray and couldn't hardly make it that day. I stepped in the other room and I said, Francis, come in a minute, darling. She came in. I said, sweetheart, Daddy pretty ugly this morning, wasn't he? She said, no, sir. I said, I'm sorry. She threw her arms around and said, Daddy, I didn't care. And I said, I know it. But I don't want you to think that's the way God's men ought to live. That ain't the way for God's men to live. And if some of you fellas would apologize to your children and your wives and some of you women, you'd stop the biggest messes in your home. You don't apologize.
Right.
I don't either if I don't get hemmed up. I tell you what you can do. It isn't right, but it'll help a little. You can buy the old lady a box of candy. And in a day or two, help her to eat it. I mean, that's not bad, is it? It won't do half as much good. But it works out pretty good. I had one of my kids with me in the meeting in Spend Day years ago, sitting on the third seat of Mother Brock, the preacher's wife. And I told that, and she nudged the preacher's wife and said, he does that too. I was trying to be funny. But she said, that's just the way he does it. You see, I'm way off up here now. You folks ain't going to catch up with me. Do you have a family altar? You'd rather go to all day singing, hadn't you? Well, that's pretty good. Just sing, sing, sing. How much better off are you when you sing 3 hours? I don't know why you folks don't check up and see what happened to your Christian experience.
Amen.
God sends these sweet singers to prepare hearts where God's men can speak the truth to them. And all you've got to do to stop it, brother, is to magnify Jesus. All you've got to do to knock some of these things higher than a kite is just magnify the Christ. Had a man to write to me from Chicago that's in this charismatic movement. I ran a meeting for him in the South. Great Baptist preacher. He has over 200 hours of child psychology. Great teacher. I was hiring teachers then for Miracle Hill schools. But I got up there and I thought I did what it was when I got the letter. But I wouldn't even tell my wife. I wanted to go and see for myself. So I went up there, and all the way up there I said, now Lord, don't let me say one unkind word against that movement. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know that. Didn't know the name of it. But I knew there was something from his letter. He is teaching, his wife going to school, and all the kids. They'd give me all day long to pray. And I'd pray all day, and I'd say, now, Lord, I don't know what it is,
Let me magnify Jesus and see what will happen in this place. Monday night we had a healing service. I prayed with them. A little bit peculiar. When they pray for the sick, they usually go rigid and then they fall back, and they naturally had to have blankets there to cover the women up. They're so near naked. Now see, they talk about what all wrong with everybody else, but a naked woman didn't bother them much. If you don't mind, you're going to get overly religious. And oh, you're going to learn something. I'm going to tell you something under God. You ain't going to learn nothing away from God's servants. Now, you can be a good man and they can help you, but you need a shepherd. I heard a fellow sometime say, "Oh, preacher ain't going to tell me what to do." Let me tell you something. You'd give 10,000 worlds like this if you'd let some preacher told you something about raising these young ones and dying. They can tell you something, big boy. You may be a smart aleck and you pass God up. Why did God put these churches down? Why did God call us men away from our jobs and everything else and deny ourselves and see if we could get to you with the truth and help you to live and help you to die? And we're dealing with your eternity. You ain't going to be here so long, no how. So the second night, they stopped nearly all of their hollering. They didn't have any healing service. They just sat there with their mouths open, and what a time we had. I preached on through Saturday night. They'd fill that building up. We had hippies and everything else they listened to. You see, if the church would just magnify Jesus, a lot of them are trying to find their way home. But we said, "Oh boy, over there, he couldn't go to my church." Hey, for the time, it's a hungry sheep that you're kicking around anyway, not somebody that needs to be rocks bounced off of their head. And without knowing it, Sunday morning I got up. The Lord told me on Thursday to have to go home Sunday afternoon. And I didn't know that the accusation against them was the fact that they'd lost Jesus in their experience. Well, without any word, I love the preaching. I still love him. That place packed out that Sunday morning. I said, "Folks, I've enjoyed being here, and I was a little bit bothered about something the things had been said about it." Because they just calmed down when I began to lift Jesus. I prayed and fasted most of the week so we'd have grace to manifest Jesus. Now that's what, you see, I do this for to glorify God. Did it manifest Jesus? It didn't. It didn't glorify God. It's the Holy Spirit that manifests Jesus, and then God gets the glory. And I got up and I said, "Folks, I don't know that I have any advice for you. I appreciate every one of you. I might say one word. Be careful that you don't lose Jesus in your experience." And that was the thing. Well, I saw that the people didn't understand. The preacher, he sort of blowed up. Tried to write ugly. But listen, what are you trying to say to us, preacher? There's a lot of these movements that's in this country today. Now, if you've got one eye and half sense, they're not like the old established church that's got a God-sent shepherd. Now, that's all you've got here that declares this to be a church. You ain't got another thing. You ain't got but one mark in here. And if that man's a God-sent man, you've got God's mark. Now, if you believe that, then get with him and stay there. Somebody begins to criticize him, just say, "Now, we don't have that in our church. That's a man that's given up his livelihood, and his wife's having to do without some things, and they won't be able to do for the little orphan boy because he's going to do for us. He's trying to help us have a homecoming in glory." And you're not going to criticize him, are you? Before I left my church, a fella came by, one of these funny boys one day, and the chairman of my deacons is painting, and he told one of them funny jokes, you know, very funny, very filthy. And that deacon just hung that bucket of paint up and walked down there and put his nose against his and said, "Let me tell you, boy, that may be your pastor, but that's not Joe Parson. And I'll never stand here and hear you tell another dirty joke. Don't you open your mouth no more." That's what you men ought to do for this preacher. You don't mind. Oh, about all you can do is fit around here and play church. You ain't got guts enough to take a stand for the thing that's right. All you have to do is just say, "Brother, I'm here, and I'm not moving." And how glorious it is. And so you need to realize the next path that you're to travel is the path of witnessing. Now, that's not just going around buttonholing everybody and making a little religious speech to them.
God will direct you to those people. God will give you the message. God will give you the burden. If you're not mighty careful, you just be out there and you say how many you've done this and so forth.
Honey, to be a witness, you have to know something. All you can tell about Jesus is what you know. A man talked to Jesus one day, and Jesus said, "Son, sayest this of thyself, or did somebody tell it to you? Do you tell what you've heard about Jesus, or do you tell what you know?" Huh? That's the only witness you got. That jabbering all the time, playing religion, that's no sign you're a witness for Calvary.
There's only one person here tonight that was at Calvary, and that's the Holy Ghost. And you nice religious people, it's not letting Him use you. You're no more a witness of Calvary than nothing in this world.
You're just fiddling around playing something. And brother, some of these days when you begin to gasp for breath, your forehead is cold and slick as a bottle and blood freezing your veins, you'll find out you don't even know Christ.
That's right.
Yeah. I wouldn't mess in no such business. I'd find out whether I knew God or not. Then I'd humble my heart and serve God. Because these are dangerous hours that we're living in, times that we're in, and how serious it is to be a witness for the Lord. If you used to go down here to the courthouse and you was on a trial, and the lawyer would ask you a question, and you'd say, "Well, they said, now just stop there. Why don't you tell what you know?" That's what Paul did. Now, to be honest with it, wouldn't that just about cut out your religious talk? Two men on the road to Emmaus one day, and they were talking about Jesus. And every time that two people has ever talked about God's Son, He's come and joined them.
Yeah.
Two of you ladies probably could remember out here somewhere sewing, and you got talking about the Lord Jesus, and your hearts got warm, and heaven come down. You know what happened? Jesus came.
Amen.
The Father listened. You know what He said He's going to do? He said the Lord hearkened, and the word hearken means that He listened and did something about it. What did He do? He got Him a little book. He said, "I'm going to write this right here in the book, and I'm going to keep it when they get up to you. Won't that be the Lord?" Now, you trying to have a good time, trying to feel good, that's about all I need right there. My Father's got a little book up on me.
Yeah.
Every poor fellow I've ever picked up in the car and talked with him about the Lord. He said, "Old Joe's tired driving from city to city." But he did. Drive by old Raymond's down there and his good wife and little fella. And we talked about Jesus. He's got in the book here.
Yeah.
That's the kind of Father that I have.
Yeah.
And that's what you need, dear soul. I left the church some years ago. In fact, they run me off. Had a fine preacher to come in a little bit later, the man, the deacon that did it. Fellow come up and said, "Since old Big Joe's gone, how's your preaching?" "Well," he said, he's pretty good pulpiteer, pretty good preacher. He said, "Well, how would you rate him with Brother Joe?" And the man started crying. "Well," he said, "I'll tell you one thing about Big Joe. If he come and stayed 15 minutes with you and you didn't talk 10 minutes about Jesus, it'd be later when he got back."
Yeah.
What else is there to talk about?
That's right.
Hey. Huh? Yeah. I had company this afternoon. I imagine at least an hour and a half. We might have talked 3 minutes about something else.
Yeah.
We talked about Him. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my God. I love to talk about Him. You'll notice I never ask you to excuse me if I want to mention my wife or my babies. Say, now, just pardon. You don't even need to pardon it. I like that gal. Go jump in the river if you don't like it. I like that gal. I've seen her bathe her feet in death so I could pick up little babies and call them my own. That's smart business, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So when you realize what it means to bear testimony, On one occasion, two preachers was going to preach, and they asked him to preach on the 23rd Psalm. And a very highly educated man, a very sophisticated and a good man, he preached and explained the 23rd Psalm. The other old boy didn't know A from B. He got up there and his lips started quivering. He stood there about 3 minutes and he said, "The Lord's my shepherd." See, he was a witness. The other man didn't witness. He told something he'd heard. You get and having experiences with your God, Dad, your young ones want to sit and listen. You tell about the Lord Jesus. Mother, if you had time to do something besides fiddle around and get fixed up for something, you could tell those children about Jesus. Now, it might not always be religious. My mama gave me a good whooping one time and said, "Son, I've made a covenant with the Lord. And if he'll tell me how much to whip you and when to whip you, I'll do it every time. If he won't never let a convict boss whip you when I'm in the graveyard." Did you? I didn't know that was in here, did you? Under their whole, there's more that's not in here when you begin to get hold of it than there is in here.
Right.
You don't need to just freeze her down to the letter and say, "I'm a tithe. I do this." Men filled with the Holy Ghost don't stick to that letter. Old Zacchaeus got up the tree to see Jesus. He didn't tithe. When he got down, Jesus and talked with him a little bit, said, "I'm going to eat dinner with you today." Old Zacchaeus said, "Okay. And I'm going to take half of what I've got and just give it away. And if I've taken one penny from some man by false accusation, I'll restore it fourfold."
Yeah.
That's what makes you tithe. Some of you so hardball and say, "God, you ought to tithe." I never put in a tithe in my life that I don't put in a love offering with.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a dime. Sometimes I've got a little greenback.
Yeah.
And what I do when I get home on Sunday night and pillow my head, I say, "Lord, you see that little love token this morning? Did you notice I said thank you for that?"
Yeah.
"Did you notice, Lord?" And I run over a chair the other Sunday night, and my wife said, "Daddy, are you sick?" And I said, "No, ain't never been this well in all my life. I'm just as healthy as I can be. I just touched heaven." Y'all get more busy about him than you are fitting with your church business, having big singings and strutting your onions.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have half so many backsliders. Get them under the gospel, buddy. That'll train you up.
Yeah.
That'll put you where you ought to be. Get you where you won't be afraid to die. And how glorious it'll be to come down at the end of the road. When they told me that day there, at least I got hold of it in the hospital, they didn't mean for me to get hold of it. They said, "Son, you can't make it through the night." I said, "Well, thank God. Won't this be wonderful in the morning? To wake up with Daddy, little sister, my brothers, and Jesus." Oh, glory to God. Are you a witness for Jesus, or you just talk religiously? I'm going to skip one tonight. That prayer that you can pray that God has to answer. It takes a little bit of time. There's a prayer that you can pray that God has to answer. You hear a lot of folks say that God can't do so and so. God can do everything. No, God can't do everything. God can't lie. God ain't got nowhere to put you but hell if you miss it, brother. Now, if you knew something about the plan of God to have the church down here, you'd know what I'm talking about. Honey, this church down here can do anything you can do in heaven. Now you need to realize the marvelous grace of God. One day Aaron and Miriam made fun of Moses' wife. She might have been a black woman. You know what happened? God the Father came down to see about that. That's the trouble with you folks bucking these churches and God's pastors with authority. They haven't lost trouble out there. They lost sickness. You know a lot of things happening to folks you don't understand. You never will understand. You don't need to understand. Brother, God the Father comes to you that day.
Yeah.
When you touch that shepherd there, that's just like if you could get in heaven and touch God. That's the same. Don't make up that. That's where many of you don't understand God's set up and God's authority is in trouble. God comes down there and said, "Mayor and Aaron, what's the call of him?" And he said to Aaron,
He said, if I have a prophet, I'll speak to him in dreams and visions. But he said, I've talked to Moses just lip to lip. Only man I've ever talked to. You see what God's getting at? What right did Mary have to open his mouth? If God's called this man to preach, anointed him to preach and care for souls in a way that you don't know about, why have you got any right to say one word of God's word?
That's right.
I think God will help you
out of
that.
He does.
That's right. Then you should bring time right now. About 3 years ago, God let that word of promise come down and enter right into me. I didn't know it was. But I knew the experience. And I knew some things began to open. One night about 3:30, 4 o'clock, I saw that word come down and go into President Johnson. He said, well, what about it? I knew it. Oh, I sat there astonished. The next March, he came on the television. He said, I'm not going to run. I never thought about it that much. Well, that was in March. In May, they come out in the paper something about his brother. My wife sat down at the table in the next room. She said, Dad, are they fixing to play the trick? Put Johnson's brother in here for a while and put LBJ back. I said, no, no. I said, Mother, I told you at breakfast a year ago. Maybe you forgot. LBJ's through. That word of God's already come down. Now, where is he tonight? Yes. Oh, God's moving into this thing. God the Father's doing this thing through Christ Jesus. Yes. Some of you got the wrong eye. Your little Jesus is a poor little sentimental, sick little lady like somebody. I would God you could get acquainted. He's a real man.
Yes.
Yes. And that picture you've got of Jesus at home dressed up like a lady's partner wants to have to bring your young ones. Have no respect for God.
Right.
Who wants a man?
That's right.
There he is, the resurrected body, yet got old clothes, 19.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, brother. God says you didn't make no picture of God, any of the likeness of him anywhere around your home, he meant exactly what he said.
That's right, brother. Yeah.
And that little sentimental messy picture that you can look at and sorrow and talk about. Brother, you can get together in your little set of pig and mess around all you want to. God Almighty said, not do it, y'all have done it.
Right.
Yeah. A woman a number of years ago had three sons. She hated the Navy. Little boys, that woman got about 18 joined the Navy. She called the preacher and he went down. She is crying. She said, preacher, do you have any idea why my children joined the Navy? I said, come on, baby. He took her in the bedroom like a baby of his kid. And there's a big ship where I want to know. That's the first thing I saw that morning. What do you keep in mind of me? No, that's what you saw. The things you kept before your kids and some things. And it's not a picture of Jesus looking like a little old 17-year-old gal either.
Right.
If you could see him in the spirit and the power. And see how sometimes he gets in us and makes a million out of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've had some of the SARS men saved and the rescue missions over this country just a lot lately. Get out of there and get filled with the Holy Spirit. That big businessman in Charlotte right now sit right down in front of me in 1938. This is as flawed as he could be. Young man. Two ladies sitting over here, I didn't know they'd notice him, they didn't know that he'd greet me. Everyone was praying all night. That little boy come out of there and shook the rag off. He's one of the finest Christians in the world, a courageous man. Being a Christian don't make you a sissy.
They
will pipe the preachers around here in the full bit, afraid to even whistle and dicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. A big old man of God and nothing in this world hates that.
Right.
Yeah. Some time back, they sent me word in the morning. The man sent me word and said, preacher, you better get out of town. They're coming after you tomorrow. I'm sort of thrown into the government and everything else. I sat out there to preach an old, I can't think of his name, another preacher. Car rolled up in an underworld character driving. He'd just be the man up and died the week before, just about a kid, left him laying there. I got up to go out there and they began to cry and said, don't go, Brother Joe. But they brought that kid to a curse. And I said, my son, you can't go with me. I've got to go to the graveyard.
But I went out there and slid in the back seat in his little office in the church and in the dream. And he looked over at me and said, "Wait, somebody come over here and see if we can get there." I said, "No, we can't get there. I'm on the end of the net. There's a Jew sitting there. Everything I mean, I talked about Jesus. I knew that like his job pretty soon."
Yeah.
Then I turned back to the front of them and told him what I thought about him, all his kin folks, and his granddad, and everybody else. That old underworld character, boy, he was a tough looking customer. I was out there with him for 7 years. I know what they were doing. He reached back and shook hands with me and said, "Big fellow, you're the first preacher I ever saw I've ever been respect on." I said, "Take these jackasses home and come back and tell you about my Lord." He said, "Fine. Well, we got something to tell the world. You don't have to swing back on nobody in
there.
You ought to have more courage than anybody."
Yeah.
And the boy right back there, he came to Florida to meet me tonight. He came down there. I thought I jerked my car a little open. Jerked out a little old gun. He said, "I'll shoot two holes clear through you." And I said, "Well, go ahead and see if we can work out something maybe this year." What could you say? He won't do business, just this stuff.
He'll
ask me why I'm back. "Why don't you say that?" I said, "That's all I can think of." Son, I've talked to men just before they pull the trigger. I know how they have to be screwed up to do it. When I said that to him, I thought that would go down. God done sent his men out there, but they don't call his agent to send them all
the stuff. That's right.
Yeah, we can meet your name before you get there.
Yeah.
We become in sympathy and love, God's name. Yeah. We're not out here picking on that fleshly weakness, if you can see.
That's right.
I was in Chattanooga some time back, the service was over. One of my cousins, I hadn't seen him for 2 years. While I talked with a beautiful girl came in about 22, looked exactly like one of the sons. She just passed by and she did. She said, "Brother Bill, I need to talk with you." And I said, "I'll be right down." So then they were on the front seat. She started crying. I said, "Now, young man, you don't have to tell me your story. I'm old enough to be your granddad. If you want to talk, let's talk. This will be the end of the road." When she got control of herself, she said, "I got a boyfriend that was going to the South Pacific and he rode me from Los Angeles. I went out there and stayed with him. We got drunk and lived together 3 days and nights." And she said, "Preach, I don't know this story." And I said, "I do." She said, "What can I do?" And I said, "I don't care. I've got a great God." I said, "What do you want to do?" She said, "Well, there happens to be a little nameless child. I'm going to leave town for this woman and I'll get it away and come back." I said, "Well, there's other people do that." I saw the low voice. And I said, "First, let's just pray." We got down and prayed about it. We got up. She looked up at my face and looked back at me. I said, "What have you decided?" "I'm going to stay here in Chattanooga as a child and I'm going to raise my own and take it home to God." That's right. "I can see him."
Yeah.
I said, "More spunk to God. That feeds you flow with your pocket knowledge."
Yeah.
And then running around here, if your dog goes wrong, and especially you religious people, you can raise more hell than one lady man in the same room than the famous because of Christ.
Yeah.
You raised a child, why don't you accept your position?" I told him, I said, "This is a bad world out yonder. Your daddy got in trouble. You know it. You get out yonder somewhere and you get in trouble. As a precious child, bring him to come home. Don't think about my ministry and nothing else.
Yeah.
My God will take care of
it."
Yeah. Don't have to run your eyes from sin. Face it.
Right.
Face this ungodly world.
Yes.
It's not as bad as facing a bunch of sore-headed churches.
That's a
great one. 3 years later, I was back in Chattanooga. I didn't know how to ask about it. Who did that kind of preachers? My Lord, I don't know what preacher. Lord God, don't let a deacon that thinks he's dead or hell find out in that. That's just it. That's a big job. You know, he's been ordered from heaven to tell everything in the world is snotty on everybody else. It might not be, but it's far. I don't know about it. They think somebody has been. And I had to say to the preacher one day, I said, you know, there's some people come here years ago and I don't know what I mean. He said, I know who that is. I said, where are they? He said, they're on the bridge. I said, seems to me like they had a young girl right there at the end of it. About her own.
Yeah.
I said, where is she? Said she's in school getting ready to go to China as a missionary. Don't you know she did good? God has to take a lot of those scattered ways that know how bad it is to get the sin and be sympathetic. You nice temple, you're hell for a long time. You know that
something. Yeah, that's right.
So, don't you know some of the Chinese girls got in trouble? Can't you just hear it out of the sin? Oh, glory to God.
Yeah.
Lord, she's an anointing.
Yeah.
One thing to be religious, it's another thing to have that God-given compassion.
Yes.
The last path that we mentioned tonight is that path of sympathy. Church people look at you and say, poor devil, that ain't me.
Yeah,
I ain't right. But sympathy is coming up now. Pick him up, put him on the beast, and take him down to the end of the survivor. Take care of him, I guess. I'll get that moment.
Yeah.
I just look at him and sort of pity him and say, I'm glad that isn't right now. I'm not lying to him. That's sympathy.
Yes.
That's something that only the Holy Ghost can put in you. That's something that Jesus brought from heaven that you didn't have. That's what he wants in the church.
Right.
He said, you're going on Sunday right now. You don't do something about this.
I'm going to move my leg. That's got to pass you to move your leg. You can see me.
When it comes to me, that later I move where I am. When the prettiest girl's playing the piano, I've never seen. I'm afraid he's telling the truth. He said, you know about living? I said, well, I don't know. He said, she's going over here to the truck stop and making those truck drivers. I said, yeah, so that's the old house. I said, boy, why do you think a pastor wants to go over there and see one of his precious sheep? And they said, are you a fellow gold digger? I said, if you open your mouth like that, I'll give you your letter, son. I don't know. God saved me from that monkey mess I've done and sent me out to help others.
Yeah.
About 6 months later, I was in the camp meeting, took her with me to play the piano. That great fellow from Bob Jones, one of the greatest speakers in the world today, preached from Babylon clear through the book of the Revelation. When he got through, I had to look up and there come a little. Lord, I never saw such steps, brother, from that day. You folks quit fitting about what you believe, what you don't believe. You don't believe anything, that's your trouble.
That's the truth.
If you believe our son, you put a little backbone in you. Put a little wisdom out of you. You wouldn't act like dead-head people. You could act like men born from above. You could bear the suffering like the Lord Jesus, our Savior. First time I've ever seen you. Glory to God. God's doing things in the hearts of these children. Quite a number of years ago. Y'all want to go home, go ahead. I'm not in this pretty good.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
See you tomorrow. Wish they'd brought me a sentence. I look where you have to go. My brain will be tomorrow. When we realize it, it's just like touching. Heal, the great preacher, was asked on one occasion. He said, how long have you been a preacher? He said, well, it's quite a story. He said, the time of my birth, the doctor realized that mother couldn't save me and mother called me. And he called my dad in the kitchen and said, Mr. Heal, can't save your wife and pay your mother with it. Folks, this one you can't see. This one you look pitiful, pray the Sunday school gets you in. Now you're in it too. And that's why you come so near dying. You never get over it either. That's your problem. You could have had grace to get the golden through this thing.
Yeah.
Or stood there and thanked God for the good hour when they went home, even when it was. And he said that the doctor said, "Mom was a Christian out there." He walked into the side of the bed, took that little comb of my hand, told her the story. She drifted a little bit closer, closed her eyes, and opened a little smile, and said, "I'll go and let you take me." Honey, there's some real decisions to be made in this world, and this church ought to be helping you folks. You ought to let God build a church anywhere He will have. Not just pastors out around like a bunch of kids. Sunday morning, you don't more care about going on. You don't more believe this thing what God wants to do than that.
That's right.
I couldn't drag you away from here.
Right.
Yeah. That's your mind with this man. Yeah. He said that when I was 12 years old, my daddy took me to mother's grave and told me the story. Said, we lived right across the field. He went over and back door of the kitchen, and I stood there and saw the guy. I came back and said, "Daddy's up soon." He said, "It's soon next year." He said, "I'll preach the word." Always God listen to me. I'll tell what Jesus does for people.
Yes.
Folks, it's this word that helps you put other people's names to be in yours.
Yes.
Many of us is the selfish. We talked here last night. I said to you, this man here didn't have this much right to this money as I have, and I call him brother. What do you church folks call him as a brother? Call that name.
You think it's nice?
Huh?
Sister so and so?
My God, you make me sick. Some of you steal any blood with dead eyes and look around here and play the church. Well, I know what you are, when you put us all in the hell here on earth, thank God when she blows everything.
Yeah.
Even my father do right.
Yes.
Even my father, he do right by me. That's what that makes here.
Yes.
He treat me right.
He
right.
Did the other time.
Right. He saved me and called me to preach. Must have said to me, if you do certain things, I'll do certain things. I was assured of that. But he did. I lived up in Charlotte, North Carolina, and my mother, my little sister, granddaughter, my wife, and little baby in Detroit, Michigan, the state. Detectives out of three different states hunting me. Jesus said that something pretty bad that happened. I know what I'm preaching to you folks about. You can dump this out the window if you need to. I know what I'm talking about. I know that book a little exactly what it said, the judge of all the earth, that he is merciful.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Glorious. So that man fell there and said, "That's it." And nobody but nothing but the Word of God can give you that which your soul needs. Now, folks, this community needs this church. And you're the only one that's the members of it that can keep it from being. They need this in the church.
Yes.
I know Clyde Billings is very well. Don't do I know anyway. Did you preach over here something? Preaching? I know both of these folks. I know what you heard. Now she didn't know I'm free to lay her right down at your feet. That you just had to do. You folks make a good mess of this religion like most of you get from it. You said it, didn't you? So just relax and quietly say, "Well, Jesus is coming, we will be." All in God's world, that fear is going to drop you to a curve.
Yes.
Talking about going through the hell, mister, you going through the Sodom and the days of Noah put together, you're going to wonder. You have any hope of it.
Yes.
God never has told nobody when Jesus was coming.
That's right.
And why you get excited about it? I go somewhere and say, "Well, there's a man back here right still. He said he's coming down and to say thing." And we don't know what to believe. I believe he's coming. That's all I'm asking. I just have to get ready every morning. Come that day, I'll be ready. I'd like to hear your little story. I don't care if anybody makes sense in it. I'd just like to hear you tell it. Well, see, I've studied the book.
Yeah.
Now, I don't care what your theory is, sweetheart. I can punch you full of holes for it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's one reason I'm not the beloved. They don't want their little air cast to pull them in. If you church them, you need them to pull them down, and you get back to God.
I'll
give you this proposal if I feel that. I got a mean streak coming up. You mean something to me? I remember years ago a great preacher in Baltimore came out one Saturday afternoon, cool and missing rain, and been praying all day. And there's a soapbox right across the street. He stopped to listen. He felt a tug at his coat, looked down the face of a little pale, emaciated girl with a body covered in sores. And the great man looked down and said, "Honey, well, what do you want?" She said, "Would you give me some money?" He said, "Well, I'd better say do this." And what's your story? She said, "Mama's down the street in a hayloft down in the TV. And it's the only way I can give her some medicine, give her a little life to eat." She so impressed that guy that he simply took out a roll of greenback. Dashed away, back up the ladder, and up on her knees, and she began to peel up. The pilot woman raised up and said, "But how did you get that?" She said, "Mother, I forgot to say it back. There was a great big man and had a silver ball. Haven't heard of him. They just saw the healing soul.
Yeah.
Oh, we need somebody that's silver ball. Had that kind of. I got all kinds of telephone calls. I wasn't able to answer them at night. I asked him to, and my daughter come back crying and said, "Daddy, very big old rugged boss man, and said she went to the soul community. This little town of that, you know. Send me a hardball check for giving me the leave sign. Go ahead and you stay in the cold man or something like that. It's all. And somebody coming down the street, some dear old dad, some little child in the street at home. Just a little pat on the head. You know, you're the big business for Jesus. God help you find out what it means to serve Jesus." 3 days later, this great man died. And his body lay in state for 3 days and nights. People couldn't get by. He'd done so much of this kind of work for the poor. A lot of you church members in here, get out between this and Sunday. Go down to that little cabin somewhere, whether it's a new show, maybe that is gay. Maybe not. There's something about this go down and say that. Right? He said, "Please say I'm going to Sunday school." "Oh, well, I've got to be out of the other day." "No, I just pray something. God, what you've got to work through, right? If you just love God, then love Him. Reputation. I expect this church stands pretty good. The way you act, it must have pretty good. Very good person. Wouldn't it be nice if you realize that you were saved to serve? That you met a part of our ministry. That you bowed and feet like Jesus when you were with us. Too much of the genteel gentleman. And look at it, and you know how people suffer in the beginning after it. And Jesus wouldn't look at it. But you know, down the harvest field. Not too long ago, the girl got in trouble in marriage. This was marriage, and she found out of church. And she went home. I saw her in the door, and she said, "The only man in this town, but it looked like he wanted to kill me." She said, "No, would you call and see if he could see us?" Another call and said, "Yes, sir, I'll be there in 15 minutes. She was sitting in the door, she was small as a girl. Now, when you walk up to somebody and they're in trouble, if you can help it, don't never look down and help it." I got down on my knees so I could look up to this time. Took her little hands in mine. I said, "Honey, you're seeing this little person in this church." Her mama come through. She said, oh, I said, why don't you shut your mouth? This is religious practice.
Yeah.
This is as good as you ever had.
Right.
And then old grandma came through. She said, I said, keep your mouth. Oh, this ungodly hypocritical world that we live in today is hard on people.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
That's
a true old husband come in. He said, I've had it right now, killing. I said, you getting my old husband. I said, I sold you out the other night. I'd have had my town all night long. I said, you wasn't my own marriage. I said, you get in that car then, I'm gonna talk to you. Better than you. You know what I'm thinking? Yeah, for 3 days and nights.